Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Adolf von Henselt, a 19th century German concert pianist and composer. We heard If I Were a Bird, performed by our guest today, Jeffrey Beagle. So, Jeffrey Beagle, one of the finest pianists today, I think, and a joy to speak with you once again after several years. You've done a great deal within this time. Just tell me a little bit about it. You have some releases that have come out in the last few years, and could we kind of review that again?
Sure. Actually, my first formal CD release was with Naxos, the César Cui 25 Preludes, and that was about 20 years ago.
Yeah, that one we talked about, but
yes.
There was a lot that happened since then.
Oh, yes. In the middle 90s, I recorded Lalo Schifrin's Concerto No. 2, The Americas. It's a brilliant concerto, and we recorded that. Lalo conducted it with the Bayerischer Rundfunk Orchestra, and he released it on his own label. And it was on a movie soundtrack, which film never came out here, but it was in England and in Asia. And after that, I did the first internet audio-video recitals in Steinway Hall, New York, and in Amsterdam. And through a grant, I was able to put together the best of the two recitals in New York and create a CD called cyberrecital.com. That
Wow.
was my original website. And that is now out of print, but it's available online, of course. And after that, some recordings for Naxos included the Vivaldi Four Seasons solo piano edition that I've created, although it's not published, and then Leroy Anderson's Concerto in C with Leonard Slatkin conducting the BBC Concert Orchestra, and then Ellen Tate's Willick's Millennium Fantasy with her Peanuts Gallery on Naxos also, and that was Millennium Fantasy was the work that Ellen wrote for me when I created the first largest consortium of orchestras to date. I began the project in November of, that was 1998.
Now, what was that for, when you say?
Well, it was really to celebrate music and the millennium. I decided, why not try to make an attempt to gather as many orchestras in the U.S. to co-commission a new work for piano and orchestra? And Ellen agreed, yes, let's go try it, see what happens. And I really wanted to have the entire country involved. But in the end, there were 27 orchestras in 25 states, meaning two orchestras in two different states.
My goodness.
And so we covered half the country. And I played it with all of the orchestras, and the recording ended up being in 2008. And it was with the Florida State University Orchestra, fabulous group, and that's Ellen's alma mater. So
uh-huh.
She's done a lot of work with the school still, and it came about that they would be the orchestra to record the premiere of the Millennium Fantasy. And so that's documented and done several other recordings. It was in 2009 that I was approached by the label directors for the new Steinway & Sons label.
Which is really exciting.
It is very exciting. Actually, my first question to them was, why me?
Why not you?
Well, no, I thought, because there's so many pianists on the Steinway roster, and I thought they must have just put 1,000 names in the hat and say, okay, pick a name and see who you get. And
well, you're very modest, I have to tell you.
No, well, there's just so many renowned artists who are at least a generation older than me that I thought they would have asked. But in any event, very honored. And they remembered that I had done two other recordings for the Koch label. I did Classical Carols, which are wonderful pieces by Carolyn Taylor. And they're solo piano pieces that combine classical repertoire intertwined with familiar carols. They just work that
How
way. Carolyn's
marvelous
a genius.
That is. And that and was on the the Koch label.
Yes. And then I recorded all the Mozart sonatas for the E1 label, which is the takeover of Koch. And Volume 1 came out. I'm still patiently waiting for Volume 2, although I recorded all of them.
That's a marvelous label. They are coming out with some phenomenal products, and the artists are amazing, too. So
exactly.
you certainly are in great company, and you belong there. Now, the new one that I just got, the Grand Romance, also, it is, for me, when I heard you play, you have a style that is, well, of course, each of the works is a, I guess, it's an interesting expression of the the composer, you know, and I guess that's pretty much what you're talking about. But it's you do it with such a flair. I think
that's
it's
so
kind of
kind.
What it is a kind of a reminiscent of another style of playing from many many years ago, and that's what I felt.
Wow.
I felt the understanding of that with the Moskovsky, for instance, or the. Or the Levitsky. I mean, there was you have a style that is reminiscent of some of the great pianists of the, I guess it's the early 20th century. Music of Moritz Moszkowski, we heard the Caprice Espagnole, performed by Jeffrey Beagle from his newest album entitled Grand Romance on the Steinway & Sons label.
You know, I recorded many of these pieces for Piano Disc, which is not an audio label. It's the Modern Player Piano.
Ah.
And I called it Rare Gems of the Golden Age back in the late 90s. I recorded that for them because people like Joseph Levine and Hoffman and Rosenthal recorded for piano rolls. I said, let's use the modern player piano technology to reinvent these pieces.
But stylistically, you've caught that. I mean,
well, there's
definitely.
Reason for, there's good reason. I'll go into that. Originally, when the Steinway label asked me to record for them, I proposed this project, and they said, maybe not. What about Christmas? And then I said, well, maybe not. How about a non-piano composer? So I chose Bach. So Bach on a Steinway was the first release for them. And in there, I do a lot of Baroque embellishments of my own in the work of the way Bach, how would Bach have played the piano? Then they asked me for Christmas. I said yes. And that's when the Steinway Christmas album came out with some of my own arrangements and some classical composers and new arrangements of composers from Facebook friends, believe it or not. It turned out to be a fun project. Then I asked them about this project. They said yes. And we changed, of course, rare gems of the Golden Age. We changed, they did. It was a stroke of genius.
For the title.
They call it a grand, because piano was a grand piano, a grand romance.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, when I was younger, I studied with a pianist, Morten Estrin, who did a series of recordings called Great Hits You Played When You Were Young, and mostly student pieces or show pieces of that era, but not all of these pieces. Maybe Kamennoi Ostrov of Rubinstein he recorded, but all these other pieces.
Yeah, but the Schultzeveler, the arabesques on the blue.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the style. You have it.
Oh, thank you. Well, when I was 16, I went to Adele Marcus.
At Juilliard.
Mm. And having studied with Morten Estrin and then going to Adele Marcus, I'm getting this whole world of pianism. And Adele was a student of Joseph Levine.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, I always tell this story because I was a very inhibited pianist. And that all stemmed from my history as a 1, 2, and 3-year-old not really able to hear. And through surgery, they corrected that. But
really?
Those first 3 years are very formative. And I was a very shy, inhibited child. And Adele picked up on that. And she would give me repertoire to help pull me out of my shell, so to speak. And at one point, I think it worked. And she had given me, I think it was the Frifolet Etude of Liszt, which I played when I was 16. But she says, but you didn't study it with me, dear. And Scriabin Etude in D-flat double notes, anything with double notes. And I'm playing these for her, and normally Adele would stop you after 3 seconds. No, dear, that's not it at all. And, you know, she didn't stop me. And I played through the piece, and I heard silence. And there was a picture of Joseph Levine in her apartment. This was in her apartment, those lessons. And I remember that photo of his addressed to her. And she said to me, you know, it's very unusual what you do. She says, I'm watching you and the way you sit hunched over the keyboard a little bit and just the way you're playing and moving around, it reminds me of Mr. Levine. And I didn't really know much about him because I was only about 17 or 18 when
she said
that.
Well, of course, one of the great, great, great pianists.
Well, I learned fast. I went to record shops and I, of course, couldn't go on the internet back in the late 1970s, 80s, but I found the immortal Joseph Levine and the Ampico recordings and all the recordings from the piano rolls. And I thought, oh my gosh, I feel this music and I really feel this. And I just was, I could relate to this.
But this is what you feel when you listen to this album, that you are of another era. I mean,
it's weird.
It's really that your soul is there. And it's evident.
Oh, I appreciate that. You know, and at the same time, I feel as though I was born in the wrong time.
Well, you certainly weren't, because this is going to catapult you to the top, I think.
That's so kind.
It's just wonderful. You know, I sat down and I said, okay, oh my, you know. And of course, it's technically very demanding. But that style, it's a style that you have it. It's the grand style of a time gone by, and there's a bravado about it, and it's really amazing. Music of Misha Levitsky. This was a waltz performed by Jeffrey Beagle, pianist, on his newest album, A Grand Romance, on the Steinway & Sons label. I think my father was a doctor, but he was a very fine pianist. And I remember how he used to kind of struggle through certain things. But there's of that era. It's a whole other era.
I had a student. Well, I met a man who came to a concert I gave in Long Island, and he said, "You know, I'd love to study with you. I would love to play for you. I haven't played in a long time." And I said, "Oh, sure, give me a call." He gives me a call, and he comes over, and, you know, he's so sweet and so kind. And he says, "You know, I studied with Moritz Rosenthal and his wife."
Oh, dear.
I said, "Oh, my God." I didn't know what I was in for. He says, "But, you know, I made my money on a song I wrote called Denise."
Oh.
"So you mean, oh, Denise, shooby-doo, I'm in love." He says, "Yeah, that's it." I said, "Oh, my God." He says, "I'm not Neil Levinson." I said, "Oh, my." He says, "You know, and the Randy and the Rainbow sang, and then Blondie sang." And he says, "I live off royalties." I said,
"Oh, my
wow."
Goodness.
So I said, "Why'd you write it?" He says, "Well, I saw Denise Lefrak on the beach, and I wrote it for her because I thought she was the most beautiful thing I ever saw." So that's why he wrote Denise. And I thought, he's going to sit down and play. He'll be rusty. Well, Neil sits down and plays the Chopin Scherzo number 2. Mm. My mouth hung open. My wife came and says, "What is that?" And it was the most incredible playing. Reminded me of how Victor Borge would just put his hands on the keys and they
exactly.
sound like...
Yeah, people laughed, but he was brilliant.
Gorgeous pianist.
Very brilliant, yeah.
And I said, "You're not rusty. You really play." He says, "Oh, I got some mistakes here and there." The style. The style was mm-hmm. of Friedman.
Yes.
Of Rosenthal.
Absolutely.
And Levine.
Levine, definitely.
My God. He would just put his hands on the keys. So, you know, that whole school of pianism is very special to me.
Well, that's what happened when I sat down and I said, "Oh, isn't this nice collection?" You know, and I begin to hear you're playing, and I said, "He's got that feel of it. It's the old world. It's old world." And you've definitely got it.
And I also, having studied with Adele Marcus, she really brought it out of me and connected me to that world through her teacher.
And
I
of
mean,
course,
she studied with Schnabel also.
But they're very demanding technically. I mean, this is not a walk in the park at all.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the most difficult tracks on that entire CD is the Etude de Concert by Paul de Schletzer. Some people say, "Oh, maybe Moszkowski wrote it," but it doesn't feel harmonically like Moszkowski. I play all of those Moszkowski's Etudes de Virtuosité, and harmonically, that piece doesn't sound or resemble that piece, not even in his E-flat concerto. It's a different flavor. So I really do think Schletzer wrote the piece.
Music of Paul de Schletzer, the Etude de Concert, performed by our guest today, pianist Jeffrey Beagle, who has just released a new album on the Steinway & Sons label entitled A Grand Romance.
That doesn't sound as difficult as it is from the standpoint of endurance. It is murder.
That's a good word. You know, that's what I felt, endurance, yes.
Yeah.
When you record an album like this, it's kind of a naive question. Is it one at a time? Is it three at a time? Is it all of them or what? How does that work?
I think in 2 days we got the whole thing done. And we would take a piece I try to choose pieces that are good to start with, that get that aren't as demanding as another piece, for instance, or a long piece. Something to familiarize myself with the instrument, and also a piece that if I wanted to go back and re-record it, just because I'm more familiar with the surroundings and the instrument, and I'm more physically in sync with the piano and the situation, I could go back and re-record it if I want to, just to have something compared to the first time.
Now
that I met the piano.
that was it. Abram Chasins, is that who wrote that Rush Hour in Hong Kong?
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness, haven't heard his name in ages.
No, you know, I heard an interview he gave in 1956 that's archived on the WQXR.org website with Neil Sedaka, who was also a pupil of Adele Marcus.
Really?
We
connected
recently. Yeah, I play his Piano Concerto Manhattan Intermezzo. It's a lovely work, and I've enhanced it just a bit, you know, with Neil's approval, just to add some notes.
Are you going to record that?
I'm planning to. I'm trying to find the right situation to get it funded and record it with other works of its ilk, and I think it could be a lot of fun. But this interview was with Abram Chasins interviewing Neil. And Abram was the program director at WQXR,
yes,
but he was also a wonderful pianist and a composer.
Course.
He wrote
yes.
a set of preludes that I hope in this lifetime I'll be able to pull out and see about getting them done. But he wrote this Rush Hour in Hong Kong. And when I learned it, I played it. And then I was doing a concert in New York with the American Symphony Orchestra in January of 2001, it was. We did the Rhapsody in Blue, 1924 original piano score, and the Zwillich Peanuts Gallery, and my arrangement of Islame for piano and orchestra. And I played a few encores, and Rush Hour in Hong Kong was one of them. And after the concert, I was meeting and greeting audience members, and I noticed who was there was Constance Keane. I thought, oh, my God, I can't believe she came. Wait, we're going to talk about Rush Hour in Hong Kong. Well, she came over to say hello, and I said, it's such an honor to meet you, and I can't believe you came to this concert. And she says, oh, I love your playing. It was I had a very enjoyable time. So I said, okay, here's the question of the day. What did you think of Rush Hour in Hong Kong? Why? Because she was married to Abram Chasins.
Oh, my.
That's why I asked her. And she didn't say anything. There was this pause, and she looked away, and I thought, here it comes. She says, it was too fast. I said,
okay.
It's supposed to be fast, isn't it? And she says, well, let me tell you how Mr. Chasins played it. She says, you know, you have the theme comes in three times. The first time he plays it, moderately fast. Leave room for it to go faster. Second time it comes in, faster. And the third time, all hell lets loose. So that's how you should play it.
And that's all that, that's all in a minute and 34 seconds, right?
Exactly. But that since that conversation, I said to her, I promise I will do it that way from here on in. So that's hopefully the recording reflects that. So I am careful not to start too fast because then I have nowhere to go.
I'm running as fast as I can with Rush Hour in Hong Kong by Abram Chasins, performed by our guest today, pianist Jeffrey Beagle. And it's from his newest album, A Grand Romance, which is on the Steinway & Sons label. I have admired you, really, Jeffrey, from a long time ago. And again, not knowing who you were, what your your background was, just from the meager collection that we have here at the station of your recordings. We have an enormous library here, but so yeah. I think we're going to definitely fix that. And once again, now, are you appearing anywhere? You just played with Harrisburg.
Yes.
Are you doing anything live?
Oh yeah. Well, I'll be in Mexico next month, teaching and doing a chamber concert, and then I'm playing in Norway in August for the 25th anniversary of a competition I was a winner in 25 years ago. It's now a vocal competition, but they want me to come back as one of the first winners, and I believe the Queen of Norway will be there.
Oh, how exciting.
So I have to prepare some Wagner and some Liszt transcriptions of Wagner and Verdi, and I found a lovely second movement of a Wagner piano sonata, so that'll be part of the mix.
Oh, my goodness, really?
And then I'm doing Keith Emerson's Piano Concerto in Kentucky, and Keith will be there to receive a special award from the orchestra. And then in October, the premiere of Lucas Richmond's Piano Concerto. Lucas is a wonderful composer, but he's conductor of the Knoxville Symphony Orchestra as well. So we'll do that. And then on Veterans Day in New Orleans at the National World War II Museum, I'm doing the premiere of a new work dedicated to veterans called Dreams of the Fallen by a young composer named Jake Runestad. It's for piano, orchestra, and chorus, set to the poems of Iraq War veteran Brian Turner.
Oh, my.
And then
are you going
to go to Germany to play Rachmaninoff the Third Concerto, and then Ellen Swillick's new Shadows Concerto.
Incidentally,
in
you're going to go
so
play. You know,
all new things.
It makes me laugh. And incidentally, you forgot about Rocky III, huh?
There it is.
There it is. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. I'm really delighted that you're so very busy, and I hope that we can keep in touch with you and follow what you're doing, and of course receive your recordings. That's
absolutely. And I just finished a Chopin recording, so that will come out later this year on another label, and my new trio has two CDs out in the last year as well. So
your new trio?
My new trio, yeah, it's called Trio 21 with very fine violinist Kinga Augustin. And our cellist is Robert Demain, who just became the new principal cellist of the Los Angeles Philharmonic. So it's going to be tough to pry him out of there if we get some work. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we recorded Kenneth Fuchs's new trio called Falling Trio and on Naxos, and also Glenn Rovin's Runaway Bunny with Catherine Zeta-Jones narrating.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I think we might have gotten that album.
Oh, I hope so.
But you're doing a lot of contemporary work, and that is really great.
A little of everything.
A lot of
yeah.
Talent. That's what it is. A pleasure speaking with you. I hope that we'll be able to see you perhaps in Philadelphia or certainly in this vicinity again. Well, Harrisburg wasn't that close, but it's there.
I hope so too. It's a pleasure speaking with you again after all these years.
Thank you, Jeffrey, and please keep me posted. And thanks again.
Thank you.
And good luck to you, Jeff.
Thanks so much.
Familiar music from the pen of Anton Rubinstein, performed by our guest today, piano virtuoso Jeffrey Beagle. We heard the Rêve Angélique from Kamennyi-Astro. Jeffrey Beagle's newest album, A Grand Romance, is available on the Steinway & Sons label. And we listen today to the amazing Schulze-Ebler arrangement of Johann Strauss's Blue Danube Waltz. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Patti, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.